String 37. Life Shaper, Erda Tyrene. I stand on the rim of the rift valley where once my life workers watched over our re-evolving humans. Not far away, Chant's key ship towers over the parched ground, awaiting my final instructions. Chant Tigreen stands beside me. Chant is among the last of my aides. Most were lost on the greater arc or consumed by the flood. When I began to realize what my husband intended, I asked her to return to Erda Tyrene on a special and very dangerous mission, to determine the extent of flood conquest in this system, and if possible, to scour and save whatever portion of humanity remained behind. She gladly took the assignment. And now her work is paying off. Erda Tyrene has been left unchanged since my last visit, and humans have been recovered. The air here is quiet. The entire continent lies torpid under a wave of summer heat. To the east, I can see for many kilometers. To the west, a great dust storm draws a line of brown across the horizon. There is very little time, Life Shaper, Chant says. She does not need to remind me. In her time here, she has located only a few hundred humans, in clumps of four or five, spread across tens of thousands of square kilometers, mostly very old or very young. With a few monitors, she has carefully gathered these few, and now they are in stasis on her research vessel, parked a few hundred meters from the key ship. A handful of other humans have likely made it to the Lesser Arc. These, then, are all we have of natural physical human specimens. The once teeming populations of humans are now down to at most three or four species. Without that many healthy natural templates, it will be much more difficult, if not impossible, to use the genetic patterns I've stored. Over and over again in my experiments, I have confronted a stubborn streak in all vital systems. An almost perverse delicacy, as if beyond or within their physicality lies a field or over-spirit, which supplies a living population with amazing strength, but at a certain point, under overwhelming loss and pressure, can suffer and grow weak beyond saving, like a candle flame in a high wind, where once there was a roaring furnace. Humanity may be at that point. The burden placed upon life workers is extreme. Without us, the galaxy will be a mutilated waste, and whatever rises from the remnants, depending on how effective the halos are, may take hundreds of millennia to revive the glory we have seen in all our explorations. Life Shaper, we have to leave now! My Ancilla agrees. Both the key ship and the research vessel have detected star roads forming around the system. A small presence, to be sure, but harbingers of more to come. The flood has taken the bait. I am staying, I say. You will take our humans back to the Ark. You've served the mantle brilliantly, and for that, I confer my title upon you. She is astonished. Life Shaper. I cannot accept. You are still... No longer. Our Ancillas will confirm the transfer. You are Life Shaper. No arguing. It's time to save our humans. I'm confused, Life Shaper. What about you? She paces around me in desperate uncertainty and agitation. She knows me well enough to see that I have a plan, but for the life of her, she cannot reason what it might be. There is another vessel on its way here as we speak, I tell her. Large enough to deploy assemblers and to create a portal. If I succeed, then those who are reseated here will have a hope they should have been granted long ago. They will have access to our history, our legacy. The Ark. Chant Tigreen, the new Life Shaper, stands very still. A long, low sigh of wind blows around us, wistful and beautiful. I have always loved this world. For all its changeful ways and harshness, there is great beauty here. All is said. This key ship is the last that will be allowed to leave, and soon even that will be risky. Hurry! Take our humans to the new Ark. Watch over them. Watch over him. If I join you again, I will serve you, I hope, as well as you have served me. She refuses to accept. Life Shaper, you've lost your reason. Go. In time you will know why I have done this. She does not move. She seems rooted to the dirt. Go! I cry out. Save our specimens! We are done here! Chantigreen retreats, slowly at first, and then at a run. Her research vessel rises, streaks up through the sky toward the key ship's command station. Life speed, I whisper. Eternity for you all. I spend a day and a night on the ground, after Bornstellar's massive carrier ship unceremoniously arrived. In order to be disassembled and reconfigured, this vessel required my presence and oversight, at least during the initial stages. It is a worthy time, a sad time. Animals approach. Gazelles and wildebeest, buffalo and ibexes come to inspect me. They have little fear. Humans have been removed. A 2-meter-high brontothere nuzzles my hand, gentle but forceful, telling me I am out of place. Perhaps I should move off somewhere and not bother this peaceable realm. How Riser's people would love to hunt you, I whisper. The wind rises and I huddle in my armor as night falls, and with it, I see the sky is full of huge ships and star roads. With sunrise, he appears before me, and along with him come 3 of his warriors. They stand between me and the orange sun. I am not sure they are real, solid, but I am not imagining them. That, my armor assures me. This is for Thencho, Lord of Admirals, and there is only one way that can be. The grave mind is playing another cruel trick.
Librarian,
he says. One look at him as he steps forward and then around me into the full light confirms my suspicions. His face is contorted by deep pain, ravaged, darkened by blotches. His flesh is rotting from within. Composer-gathered essences have been imprinted over living humans, and those essences are now rotting the bodies from within, maligned by the flood parasite. Despite this fact, I'm shocked that he can communicate.
We have been allowed to come here to die. The grave mind...
He coughs and can barely recover his voice.
The grave mind is on its way to the secret ark, preparing to devour whatever hope you've laid up there. But it has sent us to you with a final message, Great Mother.
They gather around me. I am at once touched and horrified. They will indeed die soon. Such is the cruelty of the composer. Such is the barbarity of the Flood.
This we were told by the Gravemind, the greatest of them who has consumed 10,000 planets and brought entire galaxies to an end. This we were told.
His warriors kneel at my feet, and I wither inside with shame as I recognize that, through their imprinted bodies, they look upon me as a last and redeeming vision, regard my face as equal to that of their own mothers, a face their descendants will see at birth and in all their deepest dreams. You are my children, I whisper, and they respond in many tongues. I am ready now. I know they will not lie to me. They will tell me what they were told, and I will know the truth of it or not. I listen, Forthencho. He struggles to give voice to so many alien thoughts. In the language he knows, using the words he is familiar with.
The precursors lived in many shapes, flesh and spirit, primitive and advanced, spacefaring and locked to their worlds, evolved over and over again, died away, were reborn, explored and seeded many galaxies. This I was told. I understand little. We are your children, Librarian, but we are also their children. And what they learned across many billions of years they stored in this galaxy. We do not know where. The Gravemind tells us something impossible to understand, that most of what has been gathered comes from before there were stars. We do not believe in such a time, but the mind insists, the life patterns and living wisdom of 100 billion years. They tell me the immense field projected by this reserve is known to Forerunners, was once accessed by them. Is that so, Librarian?
The Domain, I tell myself. He is describing the Domain. Could that possibly be true? The domain was created by precursors.
Forthencho's warriors clamor hoarsely. Their decaying hands reach out to stroke my armor, touch me directly, touch my flesh. I do not withdraw. I reach out to the crumbling cheek of the Lord of Admirals.
I'm listening, I tell him.
The Gravemind no more understands the whole truth than we do. It is all past our understanding, from the greatest to the smallest. This reserve was wrapped in precursor architecture, protected for many billions of years. Out there. He lifts his arm and points to the bright blue sky. Perhaps if there were enough time we could find it. But when the halos are fired, not only will sentient life across the galaxy vanish, but all that knowledge will vanish as well. The greatest treasure of all will be destroyed.
The Organon. The domain is the Organon. A wonderful truth about to be turned by forerunners into an awful truth. And not far away, outside the circle, Catalog is listening to this accusation, this testimony regarding what may be the greatest crime of all. If the halos fire, we will kill our own soul.
I will send a message, I tell Forthencho.
His lips crack as he attempts to laugh.
You don't understand me, librarian. The effects of halo radiation are already felt.
I stare around the circle of wretched humans. I refuse to accept this. Lord of Admirals holds up both of his hands, holding on to me, then lets go and falls to his knees. He tries to smile. Blood streams from the cracked corners of his lips. Not a kind smile, like the grin of a wolf.
The halos will be fired, he says. They are being fired. They have been fired.
With an agonized grimace, he collapses face forward into the dirt and grass. His blood returns to the soil. The others try to sing, but give out only a low, deathly howl, what might be an old battle song, or perhaps conveying a final message from the Gravemind. Its laughter haunting me across thousands of light years. In minutes, they are all dead. Not from the effects of Halo, still to arrive in my time, this system's time. Not from Halo, but from the cruelty of the Gravemind, using them as embodied messengers. A flesh-born warning to me that victory is not sweet, that our crimes will haunt us forever, that we are not and never will be the inheritors of the mantle, and that we are about to destroy the greatest thing in the universe. I summon Catalog. Is the juridical network open? Are you cleared for access? Catalog affirms that communication is possible. I need to send one last message to the Ark, to the Isodidact. Bear witness.
That is what I do, librarian.
Tell them what we have heard. Tell them I believe it is true. I think of the Didact, locked in his cryptum. If the domain is destroyed, I have condemned my husband to an eternity of darkness. Silence, with only his own rage and madness to keep him company. The message is sent. I watch our powerful vessel splinter apart and bury itself deep, causing the ground to tremble around me while I wait with the remains of my poor humans out on the dry grass in the heat of the afternoon sun. What is left of this ship will mine and leverage the raw materials of this vast savanna to build kilometer upon kilometer of portal. It may take 100 years to complete, a process stretching out long after I'm gone, well past even this world's reseeding, but it will be worth it. Who will use this portal? Who will live to return here? And what will they think of this machine that I've buried? Those I have fought for so long. Those who, it is clear to me now, ultimately will and must inherit the mantle. I can only hope that they will survive and upon returning, that they will find this portal and use it to travel to the Ark, in order that they might discover their rightful place in this galaxy and the great responsibility they have finally inherited. They are the last of my children. They must reclaim their birthright. The sun westers. The air swirls and cools. Predators and scavengers come, but ignore me and refuse the dead warriors. The last gray and orange glow of day gives way to inky night,
The air is very cold, the sky steady and clean. The stars have never seemed so many, never burned brighter, never branded my eyes as they do now.